All right, brand new series starting today, Pocket Guide to Christmas. And I've had some people ask me, Trey, what does that mean? What is the Pocket Guide to Christmas all about? It's a really cool graphic, though. I like it. It's nice. A pocket guide, how many of you guys know what a pocket guide is in general? You ever bought a pocket guide, like pocket guide to fishing or a pocket guide? What a pocket guide does, you can put it in your pocket and it's a guide. So, duh. No. A pocket guide, it basically gives you it's kind of a need-to-know manual, right? Like, there's not a lot of fluff. It's going to give you what you need to know about a certain topic. So for us, pocket guide to Christmas, what guide that you can put in your pocket tells you everything you need to know for Christmas? Well, this is church, so you know the answer. It's the Bible, right? And so what we're doing, actually, for the next few weeks is we're specifically looking at some Christmas stories and some Christmas characters that you've heard of. Probably if you didn't even grow up in church, if this is your first time ever setting foot in a movie theater, you've probably heard of the guys we're talking about. We're going to talk about the wise men, talking about the shepherds, talking about Mary. You know, you've heard of those people. But what I believe is that those stories that we've heard 1,000 times have some amazing truths in there for us about how to understand Christmas better, how to understand life better, how to live for God better. And so that's what we're going to be doing for the next few weeks, is really kind of diving in and just looking at those guys and really taking apart the stories and seeing, all right, how does this apply to me? And we're starting today with the wise men. You know, and I know you may be wondering right off the bat, how do I relate to the wise men? They were from another country. They were rich. They rode camels. They gave people gifts of myrrh. I don't know what myrrh is, but they gave gifts of myrrh. Here's how you relate to the wise men. You're probably not as rich as they are. If you are, we need some new lights. So see me after. Thank you. But here's how you relate. The wise men, I believe, as I study the Bible, I believe the wise men were the first, what we in the church world call seekers. All right, and I put parentheses beside it because that's what we call them. That's what pastors call them. We call them seekers. All right, a seeker is basically what I came to Myrtle Beach to plant a church to reach. A seeker is someone, and many of you are this person or you have been. A seeker is someone who will choose to attend a church service, but not be really sure they believe everything they're going to hear at the church service. All right. Growing up, most people didn't go to church unless you already agreed with everything at the church. You know, you went to church because you had always gone to church because you knew the Bible and you'd gone to Sunday school and you'd read and you'd heard about God. And so you went to church. And then a crazy idea happened about 30 years ago in church. They were like, you know what? We should probably design this for people that don't know Jesus as well. Shocking. And so that's what we do. We're a church for seekers. All right. We're a church for people who say, you know what? This God thing sounds nice. I know people who dig it, but I'm not really sure I buy it. Is there a place for me? Is there a seat for me at the table? And we say, absolutely. This is the table. The whole table was designed for you. We want to be a place for people to come and check out God and kind of figure him out and say, is this real? Is this fake? Do I believe this? Do I like this? Well, see, I think the wise men were the very first seekers. I think they decided to follow that star to Jerusalem because just maybe, it was real. They didn't know. They surely didn't believe it yet, but they decided to check it out. So here's where we're going to be. We're going to be in Matthew 2. If you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and open into Matthew 2. We're going to start in verse 1, and we're just going to dive in, and we're going to learn from these guys because I believe that there are some lessons we can learn from how they sought God. I think we can apply it to our own life and how we individually, no matter where we are in the journey, can seek God. So Matthew 2 is where we're going to start. Verse 1, here we go. Jesus, that's the guy this whole thing's about. All right? I don't know. Maybe that Jesus is the guy that Christmas is about. It's his birthday. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him. So they show up in Jerusalem, and they say, all right, where's he at? Where's the king? Because we saw the star, and we're here to check it out. Now, I'm going to have to give you, just bear with me. I'm going to have to give you some background about these guys to help you understand where we're going. All right? But I promise this isn't a history lecture. It will be over quick and it'll be painless. I promise. All right? But here's what you need to know. These guys, the actual term used in the Bible isn't wise men. It's magi. All right? That's the actual term. And we've decided that means wise men. But you don't know what that means. You know some wise men and they don't ride camels. So let me explain to you these guys. What a magi actually was, is it was someone who was considered to be, they were intelligent, but they were also enlightened, could be the word. They were in touch with spiritual things. Today they would do yoga. They're very, very, very just, you know, and they weren't really psychic, but, you know, they were into that kind of stuff. You know, they were the people who you knew in college who read philosophy books for fun. And you were just like, what are you doing? And today, if they were alive today, they would be people who would say, you know, they would say something like, I'm not into organized religion, but I'm very spiritual, right? Right, and I'm not mocking that. You know the type, or you may be the type, all right, who would say that. I'm not really into Jesus and God, but I'm spiritual. And again, you do yoga, and there's nothing wrong with yoga, by the way. That's been a deal lately. That's so stupid. Do yoga. Read Harry Potter. It's silly. All right. Anyway, so that's who these guys were. All right, that's kind of, they studied. They even read religious texts because they wanted to know. It was really just an intellectual exercise, though. They wanted to be educated in the world. They wanted to be able to have intelligent conversations with people about things. And, you know, they were into astronomy and all that kind of stuff. All right, that's who these guys were. That's what a magi was. And he was rich. Because in that time, you didn't have time to do any of that unless you were rich. All right? If you couldn't do any of that, you were farming so that you could eat your food. But these guys had other people farming, and they had free time to do these types of things. So that's who they were. All right? Now, it also says that they were from the east. Well, if you know your geography, you know where Jerusalem is. And if you go east from there, Jerusalem is right there in the, you know, western corner of the Middle East. That sounds confusing. If you go east from Jerusalem, there's a lot of stuff there, all right? You get to Iraq and the Middle East and Iran, and then you get to India, and then you get all the way over to China. There's a lot east of where they were. So over the course of history, people have tried to say the wise men have come from all those places. No, probably not. They probably weren't Chinese. Most likely, where they came from is a place called Babylon. Now, Babylon doesn't exist anymore, so it's okay if you've never heard of it. But Babylon is right in the middle of what's modern-day Iraq, all right? And we've all seen the news enough to see the map. You know where Iraq is. And so that's where these guys were from, okay? And here's why we believe that. Here's why we think this is where they were from. Because 600 years before this time, 600 years before Jesus was born, almost the entire nation of Israel, the Jewish people, lived there in Babylon. That's where they lived because they had been taken over. The king of Babylon at the time was King Nebuchadnezzar. His army had destroyed the nation of Israel, destroyed Jerusalem. And what he did is when he beat you, he was like, you know what, you're coming to live with me now because I don't trust you to stay here by yourself. You know, it's like your little kids. You can't trust them, so you got to take them with you. Well, you know, he had conquered them. He's like, if I leave you here, you're just going to get back together and have a revolution, so you're all coming with me. So he takes them all back to Babylon, and that's where they lived. The Old Testament talks all about it. The Old Testament warned them this was going to happen. The Old Testament talks about, well, it's happened, and what's going to happen afterwards? And there's this book right in the middle of the Old Testament. Actually, it's at the end of the Old Testament. It's called Daniel. And Daniel is the story of one Jewish leader who lived during that time in Babylon. Okay, and he rose to great prominence, number two in the kingdom. Here's why that's important. When he became number two in the kingdom, the king started asking him about God and all that kind of stuff, and God did some crazy things, and they were like, you know what? Since I'm the king, everybody's going to worship the God of Daniel. It's happening. And so that culture knew about the Jewish culture. They knew the scriptures because the king 600 years before had said, you're going to do it. And it didn't like 600 years in our time where, you know, we didn't have an iPhone 3 years ago. Like, they were pretty static in their civilization. And so it was pretty much the same, still agrarian, hanging out with the stars. And so there was a background there. And number two, when some of the Jews finally got to go home, many of them stayed. They lived there, all right? They were hanging out right there. And so this is why all this is important. And I promise this, it is. Because 600 years later, these magi were living in a culture that knew the Jewish Bible. They knew people who were Jews. They knew people who worshiped God. They didn't, but they knew people that did. And because these guys were intellectuals and because they wanted to understand spirituality, they would have studied the Hebrew Scriptures just like they would have studied any other ancient text. They would have known it. Okay? And here's the point. In Numbers 24:17, which is in the Old Testament, there's a prophecy, one prophecy, about a star. Here's what it says. It says, I see him, but not here and now. I perceive him, but far in the distant future. A star will rise from Jacob. A scepter will emerge from Israel. Okay. Here's the point. I promise there was a point. These men had grown up in this country with these people. They knew this background. They'd read it. They'd studied it. They'd had intellectual exercises entertaining it. They probably discussed it. The last thing they ever thought would happen was that it would come true. Was that it would be real. So one night after dinner, one of my magi guys, I don't know what their names were, one of the magi comes out. He's, you know, still licking his fingers and cleaning them. And he's going out to sit on the balcony to, you know, their version of watching television was watching the stars because they didn't have television. So they were going out to sit at night, and he was going to sit up and look at the stars and probably talk to one buddy over a cigar or something like that. I don't know. He's just going to hang out and look up at the stars. And so he sits down in his normal spot and kind of kicks back and starts looking around and looking at all the stars and kind of saying, yeah, that's whatever they'd called it and that's whatever we call it. And all of a sudden, he's kind of scanning the horizon and out of the... Wait a minute. That's never been there before. He sees a new star. And it's not moving really fast like a comet, so he knows that. He looks at... That is a new stars don't happen. And he starts counting how many glasses of wine he had at dinner, make sure he's not going crazy. And then he finally, he's like, hey, y'all come out here. And the other two who are not quite finished eating, they come out. And they're like, what? And he says, dude, look at that. And again, they didn't have television. They knew what the sky looked like. And they look and they go, whoa. That's a new star. And so they start discussing it. How could this happen? How could there be a new star? New stars don't just happen. We've been looking at this sky for years. This never happened before. What's going on? And then one of them kind of chuckles to himself and he says, hey guys, I don't want to sound crazy here, but I was reading, for fun of course, the Hebrews scrolls the other day. And they're like, what? Are you serious? Are you really going to bring that into this? Are you crazy? He's like, hear me out. He says, I was reading the scrolls the other day. And you know that king they're always talking about? That guy they keep telling us that they've been saying for 600 years is going to come rescue him. Remember that guy? Their book says that a star is going to appear out of nowhere when he's born. And they're like, ha, 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 you're so dumb. This is crazy. You're Looney Tunes. We're not entertaining this. And then he goes, but wait a minute. Look where the star is. And they think about it for a minute. They orientate themselves, and they say, oh, that star is exactly in the direction of Jerusalem. Okay. And because they're intellectual, because they want to investigate things, because they want to check it out, they're like, well, we got to go now. We got to go check this out. I mean, a star appeared in the sky. I have to check this out. And see, I think, I pray, I hope that some, if not many of you in the room today can relate to that. It wasn't actually a star in the sky. But you were a person who knew about God, knew about Jesus, had heard of him. Maybe you had gone to Sunday school once as a kid, and maybe you had sat in church in one of those wooden pews that made you sit real straight, and you had somebody who anytime you'd slouch over or talk, they'd thump you in the back of the head. I did. As you get thumped in the back of the head in church. Yes, it was awful. So I have a little brain damage. But then when you got older, you were like, that's okay. You know, I'll go twice a year, Christmas and Easter, because it's mandated by law that I go those two Sundays. But that's it. That's it. I'm going to do my time, and I'm going to live my life. And then something happened. I don't know what it was. But something happened. Maybe it was a tragedy. Maybe you got in an accident. Maybe you lost your job. I don't know. Maybe it was something great. Maybe you had a child born. Maybe it was as quiet of a moment as you were walking on the beach and you just realized there is no way that this is all by chance. Maybe it was as simple as a friend saying, hey, you should come with me to check this out. And you'd said no 10 times. But for some reason, that 11th time, you're like, all right, I'll check this out. Sure, whatever. It's crazy, but I'll go with you to shut you up. All right? That's good. We teach our people to keep asking. I want people to come just to shut them up because I believe they're going to come and God's going to get a hold of their heart. Maybe you have a friend on Facebook who kept putting comments about Wellspring's great or God is great or whatever. I don't know. But I believe something like that happened to many of you. And I believe it was God talking to you just as clearly as he was talking to those wise men when he put that new star in the sky. I believe it with all my heart. The question for you today is, what are you going to do about it? Are we going to do what these guys did? Are we going to chase it? Or are we going to write it off as, that's just a coincidence. That's just silly. I can explain that. Let's see what these guys do. Let's keep reading. Verse 3, they show up. Remind you, they show up. These guys do, riding camels. We think they're wearing robes because that's what they put in pictures. We don't know that. But let's just say it. They were riding camels. And they show up and they start asking, where is this newborn king of the Jews? And everybody's like, what? We have a king. And he's not very nice. Please stop saying, where is the king of the Jews? Because he's going to get mad at us. Verse 3. King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. You know why King Herod was disturbed? Because he was the king. So if crazy guys on camel show up saying, there's a new star, baby, we're looking for the king. And Herod's like, I'm the king. What do you mean you're looking for the king? See, King Herod wasn't really the king. King Herod was under somebody else's authority. King Herod was under the Roman Empire's authority. And what they had said to King Herod was very simple. You can be king as long as you control them. I don't want any trouble. I certainly don't want a revolt. Handle it. So guys showing up saying, we've seen the star, baby, the king's here. I don't mean Elvis. Herod was like, whoa. See, Herod was threatened because there was a new king in town. Let me give a word of warning today to those of you in the room who are checking out God. And it's from the bottom of my heart. Word of warning. When you seek Jesus, you'll find him, by the way. And when you do, and when you start to build a relationship with him, there will be people in your life who it will threaten. They will not like it. They will not like the changes that are happening. It may be a friend that says, look, dude, I'm okay with you going to church twice a week, but this reading the Bible stuff every day, it's a little much, don't you think? Might be a spouse who's they're losing some of their me time because you wanted to be about what God's doing. Might be a boyfriend who doesn't like the fact that you're not doing the things with him you used to do with him. Sex, what I'm talking about. Just making sure you got that. because you've decided, you know, I'm going to honor God with this. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is, but I'm telling you, it'll happen. Because when there are people in your life that don't follow God themselves, and there's nothing wrong with that. I have people in my life that don't follow God. But I love on them and try to lead them to God. They don't threaten me. But if you're just starting out, man, you've got your cocoon. You've got your safety net. You've got your people surrounding you. And when you start trying to change, when you start trying to reach out to God, they say, whoa, whoa, whoa. That's too far. I just wanted to prepare you for it. I want you to know it's going to happen. So when it does happen, you can say, he said this was going to happen. It's okay. I'm still doing the right thing. I'm still following God. You can't let those other people control your relationship with God. Can't do it. You just can't do it. All right, let's keep going. So what does Herod do? All right, the people show up. Where's the new king of the Jews? So what does Herod do? He goes to the Jews. And he asks them, he called a meeting of leading priests and teachers of religious law and asked, where is the Messiah supposed to be born? He had heard of this Messiah guy. They had all heard about it. They thought it was a fairy tale. Verse 5, in Bethlehem in Judea, they said, for this is what the prophet wrote. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah. For a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd for my people, Israel. He goes to the religious leaders, boom, chapter and verse. They show him, this is where he will be born. We know it. Now, side note, this is a message for another day, but the fact that those religious leaders could know exactly where the Bible points to where he was going to be born, and then 30 years later could kill him, is horrifying. And it's actually what I'm preaching about Christmas Eve. So it's not a message for today. Christmas Eve is don't miss Christmas. Don't miss it. So I'm not going to preach any more about that today, but I could. Because these guys knew the very word of God. But they missed Jesus. It happens more than you think. Anyway, what I really wanted to show you here is something really cool. Something really cool for us as we're seeking God happened. Okay? These wise men had seen the star. They'd seen the sign. They'd followed it. But at a point, the star took them as far as it could. It took them to Jerusalem. That was as far as a star could get them. To take the next step towards Jesus, to really begin to understand him, to really to know him, they had to go another level. They had to get past the signs and they had to get to the scriptures. They had to get to the Bible itself. See, that's why God wrote the Bible. It's his love letter to us to say, this is how to know me. This is how to serve me. This is how to work with me. This is how to walk with me. And that's what they do. They get to Jerusalem, they follow the star, but the only way to finally find Jesus is the Bible itself. The Word of God is the one that pointed them to Bethlehem. And that's so crucial for you as you try to walk through this process of seeking and searching, because here's the deal. The signs will take you so far, you got to get to the Scripture, and then as you get to know the Bible, here's what you'll find out. God's signs and God's Word always line up 100% of the time. Never, ever, 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 ever will God lead you to do something that his word says, no, 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 don't do that. And see, as you get to know God better, you get to know his word better, then the signs become clearer. And you can differentiate between his signs and selfish signs. Well, you know, Trey, I really feel like the Lord is leading me to sing on Sunday mornings because I really feel like that would be valuable. Yeah, but you can't sing. Yes, but God told me that I was... No, he didn't. He didn't. He didn't. I know that. Promise. He didn't tell TJ that either, so... That's actually what I say. Talk to TJ. Because he's meaner than me. Anyway, that was just a silly joke. But the point of that is, as you follow God's signs, it's going to lead you to God's word. And if you really want to understand God, if you really want to get to know him, you've eventually got to get to his word. You've got to get to the Bible, and you've got to read it for yourself. You've got to. Because that's where it happens, man. That's where you start getting to know God. That's where you get to start understanding him. All right, and that's what happened to the wise men. The signs took them so far, then they needed God's word to point them the rest of the way. Let's keep going. Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. And then he told them, go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. And when you find him, come back and tell me so I can go and worship him too. FYI, Herod did not want to worship the king too. Herod wanted to kill Jesus. He wanted the wise men to go find him, tell him where he was, and have him killed. That's why I asked, when did that star first appear? Because he was doing math in his head. Because the star first appeared when he was born. It was like, okay, so the star first appeared a year, year and a half ago. Means he's probably a year and a half, 2 years old. Good to know, thanks. Because what he later does when this doesn't work out is he orders that all the babies, all the male children, 2 years and younger, be killed. Trying to get rid of the king. Because he was threatened. People go to great lengths when they feel threatened. Anyway, see what the wise men do. Let's see what they do here. How do they go? Because they've reached some adversity. They've got a little tension. The king, that's not good. That's not good that the king's not happy you're there. We'll see what they do. Verse 9. After this interview with the wise men, the wise men went their way. And the star they had seen in the east guided them. You hear that? And then the star guided them to Bethlehem. And went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were filled with joy. So they leave the meeting with Herod, which was probably creepy, and they start heading towards Bethlehem because somebody pointed out, there's Bethlehem. And wouldn't you know it, the star moves. The star moves right over Bethlehem. You know why? God's word. God's signs. Always in unison. Always. Always go together. And see, here's where I think it gets really interesting. I think by this point, God was already moving in their heart. I think they were already starting to look at each other and say, can you believe this? This is real, dude. Did you see that star move? Me too. Have you ever seen that before? No. And so as they start getting closer, their heart starts beating faster and they get excited because they realize this was real. So that's why the verse says, when they saw the star, they were filled with joy. When they saw it move, they was like, oh, this is happening. And you know, I bet they were so, so excited to be following that star. And I bet they were so happy that they risked looking like morons chasing a star across the desert. And I bet they were so happy that they didn't listen to their friends who said, you're going to do what? And they're like, man, seriously, the star, you're crazy. That's a coincidence. There's no such thing as God. But they did it. And here it was. And it was happening right before their eyes. Right before their eyes, they'd seen a star move and they were about to have an encounter with the God of the universe. Verse 11. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother Mary. And they bowed down and worshiped him. Now, for those in the room who do know Jesus, who have had that encounter, who do live in fellowship to him, you know what that feels like, right? That moment or moments you have where it's just like, okay, I can no longer explain away the coincidences. I can no longer say this is all chance. I can no longer make any sense of it other than the reality that there really is a God. He really does love me. He really did send his son to die for me. And because of that, in light of that, I have no choice but to say, here you go. I have no choice but to bow and worship. I have no choice but to say, you're right. You're right. It wasn't a coincidence that my friend called me that Thursday and invited me to church with her. It wasn't a coincidence. It wasn't a coincidence that my coworker gave me the flyer. And I didn't tell her at the time, but when I read the flyer and I read the title, I almost started crying because she had no idea what I'd been going through. It wasn't a coincidence. The first Sunday when I walked into Wellspring and it sounded like he was talking directly to me. It wasn't a coincidence. It wasn't a coincidence that you went on the internet and just Googled churches and we popped up. That's not a coincidence because I pay to make that happen. I don't know what it was. But you have to come to the point where you can put aside the intellectual objections and say, dude, a star moved in the sky. There is no way this is a coincidence. This happened. God is real. And I have no choice but to surrender everything to Him. Because if He is, that means everything they've said about Him is true. That means the Bible is real. And I can't miss that. I can't. You can't. You can't miss it. You can't miss it. And my hope and prayer is that you haven't. Is that you do get it. And that we can do, as a people, what the wise men did. As they came, as they bowed, as they worshipped. Listen to this. Then they opened their treasure chests and gave Him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. See, I don't believe they came prepared to give these gifts. I think they were traveling with gold because they were traveling, and that was cash. You keep cash on you. I had a buddy tell me the other day, $200 in cash can get you out of any problem. Make sure you have it on you at all times. Well, that's what they had. They had a couple $100 in cash, or maybe a lot, I don't know. They had some frankincense and some myrrh. I still don't know what that is, but they had it. Here's the point. They didn't come to give Him gifts. They gave Him everything they had. That's why the Bible says they opened their treasure chests. They gave Him their treasure. They said, everything I have that is dear to me, everything that I've put value in, everything that I think's made me who I am, you know what I do, Jesus? You know what I do? I lay it at your feet. And I say, you're real. And what you've done for me, coming here, living your life, and dying for me, is worth way more than any of this. Anything I want to control, anything I want to handle, anything that I think is mine, I want to give to you. Because I want you to run my life, not me. It's yours. And that, folks, that's worship. That's all worship is. Worship is abandonment. Worship is saying, all right, the floor is yours. I bow my head to you, Jesus, and I say, take over. Because you're real. The star's real. It really happened. And I can't miss that. See, the wise men didn't. They got it. And a really cool thing happens in verse 12. Listen to this. When it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. You've probably heard that 10 times, maybe 100 if you grew up in church. But I bet you missed this point. God spoke to them in a dream. You know what that means? That means now they were able to communicate directly with the God of the universe. When it started out, He had to show them a sign. He had to put a star in the sky and hope they followed it. But they leave this encounter with Jesus Christ. They leave this encounter having a relationship with the God of the universe that allows them to speak and hear directly to and from Him. And that's what's waiting for every one of us. When we're willing to say, all right, this is scary, but that just can't be a coincidence. I'm going to check this out. And you take a step. And God's there. And God's like, yeah, it's me. Come on. Yeah, come on. Come on. I pray that each of you have that moment where you realize, okay, this is real. Because when you have that moment, when that happens, you do what the wise men did. You don't have a choice. Why would you want to have a choice? When you realize that the God of the universe, the most powerful thing that's ever existed, spends His days dreaming and thinking about you. wanting to spend time with you, sending his son to die so that he could spend time with you. And not only that, he wants to use you to change the world. As we enter Christmas season, right? I beg you, I plead with you, don't miss the signs. Don't miss whatever it is God's trying to do in you and through you. Because you want to wipe it away as a coincidence. You want to think it sounds silly. Risk looking silly. Do what the wise men did. Because it'll lead to an encounter with God. And it'll change your life. I love you guys. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for how patient you are with us. We thank you that you do make it so clear what you want from us. And God, I just pray right now for all of us in the room, whatever step it is you're calling us to take, whatever it is, a step of obedience, a step of faith, the first step, a job we need to take, a relationship we need to end, something that needs to change. God, I don't know what it is, but you do. And you are putting signs in our life to point us there. May we see them, may we hear them, may we receive them, and may we act on them. Give us the courage to follow you. Give us the courage of the wise men. It's in your name. Amen.